Available, affordable workforce housing is pretty close to impossible, it seems, to find in our state, which is why it is, again, a top topic for our lawmakers up in Hartford during the legislative session. In fact, today there is an opportunity for you to share testimony over the housing crisis and current bills being put forward. Joining us now is Maria Weingarten back from CT 169 Strong with the scoop on what's happening today. Maria, give us the very latest. What is being discussed up there? And maybe people don't realize what bills are being put forward.
Well, there are 26 bills being heard today, but there is one particular bill that we are very concerned about. It's Raised Bill 6944, and it's a vague name saying act requiring municipality to include certain information in its affordable housing plan. And it's an insidious bill that would cause towns to be subjected to an unelected bureaucrat. Put your plans in. We're not telling you what your affordable fair share is going to be, but you're going to have to submit a plan to the Office of Policy and Management, and they're going to have to decide if your plan provides a realistic opportunity. And essentially, nonprofits and developers can then sue the Secretary of OPM if they disagree, and in turn lock up these municipalities as well into litigation over their plans. So it's not a good bill, and we don't even know yet what those affordable allocations are going to be. There's a fair share study still going on. So the question is, how can a legislator even vote on a bill like this or consider what's a realistic opportunity when the past versions of this Open Communities Alliance bill have been so onerous?
So it sounds like, Maria, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is an old bill that died in the committee or didn't go forward, is just being reworked and retitled.
It is, and that's what we're seeing over and over again. There's another bill being heard tomorrow in planning and development that was heard in 2022 and heard in 2023, and all they keep doing is recycling word for word the same bad bills. And, Open Communities Alliance now called this one now Towns Take the Lead. You're not taking the lead if the state is the one that's determining whether, you know, all of your zoning is accurate or not, or whether you've created a realistic opportunity. It's vague legislation. It's just bad policymaking.
Right. It's interesting because when you say take the lead, Maria, I'm thinking, okay, so you're sort of manning the ship. But what it sort of sounds like, if I'm understanding correctly, is you're taking the lead by starting the conversation, providing whether or not you're providing a realistic opportunity, which we don't even know the parameters of that, and then having someone else judge whether or not your municipality is making the grade or not.
Right. And then allowing nonprofits that are in the business of not actually helping people get housed, but just in the business of litigating, like Open Communities Alliance. And that is what they're doing. It's just creating a same quagmire that currently exists in New Jersey, which has the highest property taxes in the entire country, local property taxes. And Connecticut is already number three. So if we end up passing bills like this, it will shoot us right to the top. So we'll have the number one, not an honor we want to have.
It's interesting, too, because when I look at again, as you mentioned, Maria, there's a list of 26 different bills being looked at. And a lot of them are talking about studies or doing, you know, or looking at, you know, property, landlords, evictions, things like this. I do think it's interesting that the House bill you're talking about kind of just got sort of mixed in there. And is really sort of a standalone. I mean, this is talking about really creating more housing. And I say it that way because it doesn't necessarily mean it is affordable workforce, available housing to people. Because what we are finding year after year is that, sure, we are building complexes left and right in our cities, but the majority of those units are not actually affordable. We are not actually bolstering up the workforce that we need, like our police, our healthcare, our teachers, because they can't afford to live in and around those cities or communities. And so we keep creating these complexes, but we're not really solving the problem. I mean, it's the average Connecticut resident cannot afford to live in these places. And so it's interesting that this sort of got mixed in there, but really doesn't look like it matches any of the other bills that are being put forward, at least from a quick glance.
That's true. And actually, you know, it's the small mom and pop, you know, all of these bills are meant to take away the rights of landlords. And what ends up happening then is you have someone who's a mom and pop, owns maybe a couple of rental units, says, this is just too much risk for me. I can't, at the end of a lease, terminate a lease, or I can only get 1 month security deposit going forward when damages could be way higher. That's why generally it's always been a 2 month standard practice. So all of these sort of bills end up having an unintended consequence of even reducing further the existing inventory that we have of housing that might be naturally occurring affordable housing. And it then goes into just larger corporations that end up buying and cannibalizing all of that sort of inventory. And you're just losing opportunity for creation of generational wealth. These are just leading Connecticut in the wrong direction. And that's the greatest concern that we have in many of the bills that are being heard up in Hartford. Everything is about tenants' rights. And when you've upset the balance there, you've actually taken away opportunity to create housing. And someone says, you know what, I'm not going to put up a year-round rental anymore. I'm going to make it a VRBO, and I'm only going to rent it for X number of days a year. And this way I have greater control over what happens with my property. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about all of the consequences of these bills that are happening up in Hartford.
Right. And again, you know, when you look at some of the issues that we are also trying to tackle, like I said, a teacher shortage, a law enforcement shortage, health care, you know, more nurses, things like that. A lot of the times it does come back to, well, we have nowhere to put these people. Like, we want to attract people to Connecticut, or we want to retain people in Connecticut, but we can't. Because there's just no options there. And so when you look at, again, more than 20 different bills being put forward, and essentially a lot of them have to do with, you know, current tenant rights, and it looks at studies and forming task groups and things like that. There's really not overwhelmingly a lot to actually address the core issue, which is creating actual workforce affordable housing where it needs to be. And that would honestly, I think, incentivize more towns to want to do it if it actually did the job. But to just build complexes to make other people rich is really not anybody's, I think, wish. I don't think anyone wants that.
I agree. And guess what? There's another hearing tomorrow in the Planning and Development Committee on SB 1313, and that bill has zero required affordability. That is all about...
That's insane. That's crazy. That's crazy.
And it's around the half mile around every transit station. You have to have a minimum overall average gross density of 15 units per acre. So you take a town like Greenwich with four train stations, and they say that, you know, so then it's like 15 units. But if you can't build at all the train stations, maybe it's 60 units per acre. So it's
but
really
there's zero
creating.
Requirement to have any affordable units.
Zero.
How can anyone
zero.
Pass that? So you could have these big complexes made, and that's great, but no one can afford to actually move into them. How do you have a piece of legislation in today's time with a housing crisis that has zero need to have affordable units? Not one unit has to be considered affordable. That's lunacy.
Not one.
That's insane.
It's a gift to developers. That's what we call it. It's a gift to developers, and it's a building rush, and the first developer in gets to build as high and as big as they want and override all zoning.
That's wild.
So It is insane. And the same bill, word for word, but taking out any sort of affordable requirement, is back again for the third, you know, a third time, exactly verbatim. So it's exhausting. It's exhausting to have bills that are overall rehashed and the same bad language, and no one is listening. And I just don't get it. I don't get how you keep pushing the same bills out again when you know we're wasting time here. We're not actually solving, to your point, we're not solving for affordability in Connecticut.
Well, you know who is listening? The people who are testifying, because at least these bills are not making it out of committee, and they're not at least, but it is, it is tiring to have the same fight over and over, and it'd be nice to find some new solutions and find some middle ground. But we appreciate CT 169 Strong again, which is a nonpartisan group dedicated to local zoning control, to really make sure that if we're going to develop in our communities, that we are doing it in the proper way. And Maria Weingarten, you and your team at CT 169 Strong, we appreciate you always keeping us in the loop. Thank you so much, and certainly keep us posted.
Thank you for having us on. We greatly appreciate it. Visit ct169strong.org for more info.
That's right. Maria Weingarten, thank you so much. And again, their website, ct169strong.org.